Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you. Amen. What a great God we serve. What an awesome God we serve. What an on-time God we serve. Amen. And like Sister Abby was singing, a great job she did. What a miracle God we serve. Amen. And if you're needing, amen, a miracle, amen, Jesus is in the house. If you're needing a touch in your body, Jesus is here. We serve an on-time God, a mighty God, a healing God. Amen. And the miracles that he did back then aren't just for them in the Bible. Amen. It's for us today. He's still doing miracles. He's still healing bodies. He's still touching minds. What an awesome God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. He's not just a God of yesteryear. Amen. But he's a God of today. He's a God of today. What an awesome God we serve. What a great God we serve. You can be seated for just a moment. I want to give honor to my pastor in his absence. And I do want to apologize for being a little late. Just taking care of a little bit of business for Pastor. And so got me a little late coming in. The gentleman that was supposed to meet came a little late. And so it put everybody late. But I apologize. But I do want to give honor to Pastor in his absence and Sister C. I hope they're having a great time celebrating their anniversary. And it's well deserved. If you know Pastor and Sister Crosswhite, they work hard. And they're nonstop, always going. And so a little R&R is good. I wish we can give them a little more R&R sometimes. I tease them sometimes. I say, Pastor, all right, when you leave, you have to leave your cell phone. We'll give you a burner phone. Let all your family have the burner phone number. The other number, just send it to us. We'll take care of it. But I do want to honor him and Sister Crosswhite and what they do and what they've done in our lives, and I appreciate them. The other day, I remember Brother Crosswhite talking about it, and he talked about the hands of the master being on the potter. And I'm just rambling just a minute, sorry. And it come to my mind because when I was a child, I thought about that with my pastor. And I think about that now with Pastor Crosswhite, my pastor currently. My home pastor's passed on to be with the Lord whenever I, you know, was growing up. But I thought about not only is the handprints of the master in our life, but the handprints of our pastor. And so many of us now use his sayings. I find myself repeating pastor in the jail. One of them is, the Bible's always going to be right 9 times out of. Y'all already got some of his quotes. There you go. Going to church don't make you a Christian like going to McDonald's don't make you. Look at the handprints. It's there. And so what an awesome pastor we have. I'll move on, but I was thinking about that, about how he molds us, how he shapens us, and I appreciate him and Sister Crosswhite and their dedication to the ministry and to us, our church, and what they do for us in happy times and sad times and hard times. And so I'm thankful for them. If we could all stand as we go to the word of the Lord, I'll be reading from Deuteronomy chapter 8. And today I'm going to be teaching from the Apostolic Foundations book. Many of you have done some of the lessons, and but this lesson I'm pulling from today is from that book. And Pastor asked if I could teach. And so I felt this lesson in studying this morning. And so Deuteronomy chapter 8, and we'll begin at verse number 1, and we'll read through verse number 6. And I'm going to try to read from the screen because my Bible has study words, and sometimes I know that throws things off. So, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doeth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doeth man live. The raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his way and fear him, and to fear him. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you, God. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this time. We thank you, God, that we could gather together, God. Lord Jesus, and break open your word, this lesson. We thank you for this and ask you, Lord, to bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. So the title of today's lesson, if you'd like it, I can get it to you after service as well, copy of it, is God's Method of Proving His People. God's Method of Proving His People. Although we are God's chosen people who serve and love Him, God will nevertheless prove our devotion. Our profession of faith and testimony do not completely validate our sincerity before God. These are well and good, yet God will often subject us to severe testing and trials to prove our dedication to Him. Let that sink in. Lip service and noble thoughts are not the criteria by which God grants rewards and approval. Rather, divine approval comes to the proven saint who stands every test and who excels in faithfulness during times of trial. Almost every product sold on the market today has to meet certain requirements before it is sold to the public. And when I began to read this, I thought about Brother Brian. Brother Brian, you work for a factory. That sausage has to meet certain requirements. If not, the church benefits from it because they're called reworks. And so, but I like the reworks too. But it has to get that stamp of approval. It has to get that seal. Everything today has a standard of which things need to come out of a factory or out of a plant. All those things have criteria it has to meet. If not, what happens, and it's happening here pretty often, if it makes it out of the plant without that stamp of approval, you get a recall. And they say, hey, bring it back. We got to fix this because it did not meet our standards. And if we don't fix it, then we'll come into lawsuits and things like that. So almost every product sold on the market today has to meet certain requirements before it is sold to the public. Automobile manufacturers put their cars through hundreds of tests on various testing grounds, testing parts and performance before they put them on the market for sale. Underwriters, laboratories place their seal of approval on products they test, but only after they meet certain requirements. The purpose of any type of testing, whether of material things or people, is to determine, now listen to this, performance, durability, limitations, and usefulness. Those who fail under testing receive no seal of approval. And I wonder where we fit sometimes. Christians are not exempt from discipline. Many things that arise in our lives will prove our abilities, sincerity, and consecration. Bragging and boasting die on the proving ground. Say that again. Bragging and boasting die on the proving ground. Shakeable things are removed in order for the unshakable to remain. Testing removes the insecure, hypocrite, lazy, and weak from the ranks. We are in a race, and we are soldiers in a battle, striving for a crown at the close of life. Only the proven will achieve it. Are you willing to dedicate fully to be approved of God? Definition: while studying the meaning of prove, we should keep in mind God does not use trials to destroy us, but to mature and edify us. Let me say that again. God does not use trials to destroy us, but to mature and edify us. If you're going through a trial, if you're going through a test, don't feel like God is attacking you, but feel like He's building you. Amen. You're going through that test for a reason and for a purpose. And it's not to pull you down. It's not to hurt you. But it's there to pick you up and build you. Don't get angry at God. Amen. But thank him for the trial. And thank him and ask him to give you the strength. Amen. To help you through it. And both the Hebrew and Greek scriptures prove, Greek scriptures prove means to test, tempt, try, scrutinize, entice, discipline, and examine. In the case of Israel, God wanted to know several things about them, as well as to develop some needed virtues in their lives. For 40 years, he led them through the wilderness to accomplish the following in each of them: to humble them, to prove them, to know what was in their heart, to know whether they would keep his commandments, to make them know that humans do not live by bread alone. And now this hit me pretty good in the lesson, and it's so true. Pressure reveals contents. Pressure reveals contents. Some of you can attest to it. When pressure begins to happen in life, do you crumble? Do you push on? Do you get angry? Pressure reveals contents. I think about the turtles like to go geo-hunting, the little rocks. And in order to see what's inside that rock, whether it be good or bad, you have to apply pressure. We bought some in Colorado, and they have this little chain deal you go around, and the kids like to do it. So we had my niece and my nephew, or actually a cousin with me, and they went over there, and they tried their best to put as much pressure. So I'm standing behind them just to help them out with a little more pressure. And when they cracked that rock open, they got to see what was on the inside. And the question today is, if under pressure, what is on the inside of you? Under distress and stress is what we really, under distress and stress, what we really are surfaces. God wants the professing and the possessing in his kingdom. He looks upon the heart to make a final determination, as when David was chosen to be king of Israel, and as when Matthias was chosen to take Judah's place. God uses the following things along with others to determine our devotion to him. Again, he does not intend for any of these things to destroy us. We are proven by the world. Our environment is an important factor in our living for God. Sin exists all around us. We can't really avoid the people everywhere. And so sin exists all around us in every form and fashion. In such an environment, God wants people who are saved by grace and taught by that same grace to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. God wants us and will enable us to live in the midst of abounding sin and yet to retain a character that is unspotted and unblemished by this world. Israel, God left some of the unbelieving, sinful inhabitants of Canaan in the land in order to check Israel's devotion to him. Though the remaining Canaanites were few in number, Israel allowed the Canaanites to defile and to corrupt them by picking up their sinful habits, their sinful ways. Daniel, conditions in his life were as adverse as possible, yet he and his three friends purposed some things in their hearts and refused to let their worldly Babylon separate them from the one true God. Solomon was one of history's greatest men, yet his demise lives on in our memory and in the Word of God. When put to the test, he allowed his wives to turn his heart from God. Between the Christian and the world, there must always be a clear line of demarcation. We are in the world. Jesus did not pray for us to be taken out of the world, but to be kept while in the world. God's word gives us the proper perspective we are to have towards the world. Number one, we are not to love the three elements of the world, namely the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Number two, we are not to abuse this world while having to use it. And number three, we are not to be a friend to this world. And number four, we are to be crucified to this world and the world to us. We are proven by temptation. Excuse me. The scripture uses temptation in two different ways. It is absolutely essential to distinguish between them and to discern which is spoken in a particular passage. Defining the source or type of temptation is important to our spiritual well-being. Enticement to evil is one. Temptation of this type always comes from Satan, using the lust in our Adamic nature. I practiced saying that word earlier, by the way, y'all, because I did not want to mess it up. I went to my wife and said, how do you say this? She goes, I don't know. And I didn't want to use Google because that'd probably get worse too. But our Adamic nature. David fell while under this type of temptation. Joseph was proven through this type of temptation and passed the test. God cannot be enticed with evil, nor does he entice people to do evil. We must always keep this cardinal truth in mind. When we are tempted to do evil, the temptation is not from God. When we are tempted to do evil, the temptation is not from God. And number two, testing for approval. God may, number one, purposely try or test us, or two, allow Satan to test and try us for a specific purpose. Abraham, God tried Abraham when commanding him to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice to him in Genesis 22 and 1. Uses the word tempt, which is properly interpreted as tried in Hebrews 11, 17. Job, God allowed Satan to test Job in Job 1 and 2. Though Job's test was not directly from God, as Abraham's was, God allowed him to be tested. Both of these types of temptation will be the lot of every saint of God. Our prayer should be that we would not be led into temptation when we are facing the trial of our faith, which Peter said would come, but we should always keep the promise in mind, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. And then Pastor quoted this the other day about how God always makes a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God will always make a way of escape. The question is are you looking for it? Are you looking for it? We are proven by false doctrine. After we come to the knowledge of the truth, the winds of false doctrine will test our love for the truth. Our love for truth must take precedence over anything or anyone in this world. Let me repeat that. Our love for truth must take precedence over anything or anyone in this world. Over anything or anyone. Anything that supersedes truth in our lives ultimately becomes our idols. Our idol. Though we are commanded to love our families, yet our love for truth must take precedence even over them. Heresies will find their way among the righteous to prove us. God has given us safeguards through his word, the ministry, and the Holy Ghost to protect us from falling into false doctrine. Balaam and the man of God from Judah listened to the wrong advice and paid a tremendous price for it. May God grant us wisdom and grace to say no to every false doctrine that we may encounter, for everything that will try to pull us out. Let us have a sound mind and be able to say no when we need to say no. We will be tried by false doctrine for it abounds on every side. Faithfulness to a church where we can hear sound Bible preaching and teaching and a good personal knowledge of the Bible are good safety measures against being deceived by false doctrine. Aren't you glad for a pastor that holds the truth? Hey, not just that holds the truth, but amen, is stern, doesn't say yes to every little thing. Amen, that's a conservative, if I can say it like that. Amen, I'm thankful for a man of God. Amen, that will tell me no. I'm thankful for a man of God that will do those things. And so you need a church, amen, that teaches truth. That's not just going to feed into what you want to hear, but that's going to tell you what you need to hear. See, we are proven by our willingness to dedicate. Somewhere in our Christian experience, we will be put to the test in an area of dedication and consecration. When called upon for sacrifice, we will either obey or we will fail. We will either obey and follow or we will fail. This test comes to every Christian. Some pass, others fail. Which will be it for us? We must prove ourselves to God and our generation. Here are some examples. The rich young ruler. I hear the story. Brother Corbett, you use it often in the jail. That's it. The rich young ruler. He went away sorrowfully with Jesus loving him all the while simply because he failed the test of dedication. Peter. After Peter caught a great catch of fish, the Lord tested the love of his life fishing by asking Peter if he loved him more than anything else. Ministers, the Apostle Paul outlined the qualifications to be a minister. Each of them demand a consecration to the cause of God. God calls people, and then they must pay the price of dedication if they are to be suited to the work. Discipleship, self-denial, cross-bearing are the prerequisites for discipleship. God's lowest standard for discipleship for us to present ourselves, discipleship is for us to present ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to Him. God chooses many means and methods to prove our love for Him so we can be sure that tests will come our way. If there were no darkness, we would never know the true meaning of light. Truth shines brightest against the backdrop of heresy and false doctrine. True disciples of Christ radiate His glory best in the midst of a sinful, dark, and evil environment. Those who are His would never be known were it not for the tests that prove the spiritual fitness. David wanted God to prove and examine him. Self-examination and evaluation of our position in God are biblical requirements. God's word is the only comparison chart we are to use, since measuring and comparing ourselves among ourselves is inadequate. You should never do that. They only make one Brother Brian. Don't compare yourself to him. They only make one Brother so-and-so. It doesn't matter. Don't compare yourselves amongst each other. Amen. God has a specific purpose for you. Amen. He loves you. Amen. So God's word is the only comparison chart we are to use, since measuring and comparing ourselves among ourselves is inadequate. We must pass through God's proving ground and training field before we are rewarded. Our great eternal judge will prove us through various trials before we come forth as gold. Soon our proving days will be over, and then God will reward us for every inconvenience we have encountered again. God is not trying to destroy us through testing. He only wants to prove who and what we really are. Testing is only for a season, but the rewards are eternal. Whatever we are facing, now let us go to God for grace to help in our time of need. His grace is sufficient. And so I want to encourage you today, if you're going through a trial, if you're going through a test, just hold on. Just hold on. Don't give in. Don't give up. Don't let the enemy pull you down. Know that God is for you. He's not here to tear you down, amen, but He's here to build you up. And many of us go through tests and trials, amen. But let me say it like this. I heard a minister say this before. If God will take you to, He'll take you through. You may be in the midst of your storm. Just know, hey, that there's sunshine on the other side. You just keep going. You just keep pushing. You just keep plowing. And allow God, amen, to help you through this. And so let that be an encouraging lesson for you today. Amen. God's not here to destroy you in your test and in your trials and whatever you're going through, but he's here to help you and build you up. Amen. Don't you love him? What an awesome God we serve. Amen. As we come to a close, let's pray and let's ask God to help us as we dismiss. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you. God, we ask you, Lord, to keep your hand upon us. We thank you for this day. Thank you for this service. We thank you for this time. Lord, keep your hand upon us as we travel home. Lord, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. And let's go to heaven how? Together. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Please remember the announcements. Also, Ladies Swim Day. If you do plan on going to that, Sister Angie is needing your pledge or whatever you're going to give to that as soon as possible. Thank you. Y'all are dismissed.